In the gospel, the deacon sang the words of our Lord, "I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The sin with which our blessed Savior reproaches the Jews is pandemic today. You have dishonored me. But nobody's panicking about it. Indeed, I sometimes think now that there is less taking of the name of God or of Jesus Christ in vain, because people don't think of him at all, or don't even know the meaning of those words so holy, other than an expression of surprise or of anger. Hallowed be thy name. We consider the first petition of the Our Father this morning. Hallowed, the old English word, think of Halloween, All Hallows or All Saints' Evening or Eve, and you get the idea of the meaning of that word. May thy name be kept as holy, respected. More, may it be praised as holy. But how do you get people to praise God when they don't know about him? How to hallow this name when you don't know the meaning and the means of keeping it holy? Well, yesterday Saint John Capistrano is an excellent patron for today's needs, and as it happens, he's a plague saint as well. There are so many of them because there have been so many plagues in human history. Saint John Capistrano lived in Europe in the early 1400s after fully one-third of Europe died in what they call the Black Death, which took him too, finally, but only after he fought off the real plague, which was heresy and immorality and ignorance of the faith, and the infidels with their fifth columnist fellow travelers. First, St. John, this Franciscan priest, equipped himself with a powerful devotion. We know the power of the holy name of Jesus. It was somewhat new, this devotion. The Dominicans had first fostered it. And three times he, along with St. Bernardine of Siena, were accused before the Pope of heresy. And each time, so well did this saint defend the cause that the Pope was so impressed, he became a kind of a go-to guy. Whenever three popes in a row needed help, a special mission, they confided it to this saint. And finally, and this is how it works in history, he almost single-handedly saved Europe from the Muslims. The threatened countries, Germany, Austria, Italy, they weren't interested. Most Christians didn't care. They were all about their own internal wars. But today, as we shall see, everybody in the whole world marches together in lockstep. Why is that? Well, St. John Capistrano went to Hungary, which still today is doing a fine job defending the integrity of its borders, and he got Hungarian farmers in their thousands to leave their fields selflessly, and all they had was pitchforks, or maybe those scythes, you know? Never mind, he trained them as best he could, this old friar, and they marched to Belgrade, capital of Serbia, and he led them, far outnumbered by the Muslim foe, to victory with a banner. And on the banner was Jesu, the cross, and then Maria, Jesus, Mary, victory. And the victory was theirs. His work done, he died a few months later of plague. The plague came because of the unburied bodies after the battle. He was 71 years old, this friar. But you know, we are supposed to die, aren't we? Death is not the ultimate evil, and it's certainly not the end. Or have the naturalists erased that truth from your soul? St. John Capistrano did all he could for the good of both body and soul. He was a miracle worker, too. He healed. He could do this, though, because he put God first, the love of God, his glory. And this is why, in our Pater Noster, we pray first, not for daily bread, not even to be brought into his kingdom. It's all about love, the love of God, which is a scarce commodity today. Scarcer, I'd say, than toilet paper, and just about as much esteemed by the general public. Pure charity puts God first and loves him as we pray above all. See how well ordered, then, is this prayer our Lord taught us. Jesus puts this petition right at the top, just after the salutation, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, showing that before asking for ourselves or for others, for even what we really need, we ought first to ask for those things that glorify God, to give him a heart that loves him above all else. And that's why the very first thing to ask is that his name should be more and better known in this world, praised more and better. That's what we're all meant to be about, all of us, parents and children, old men and women, priests and religious and faithful. I don't know where locked up churches and disappearing clergy fit into this picture, but I do remember the scripture. Our blessed Savior said, "But the hireling, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and flieth." And I do know that the name and the glory and the day and the holy mass of our Lord God have been violated decade after decade, and that order must be restored and that reparation must be made, and that is the holy mass, and that is the passion of our Lord. And until that happens, how could we anticipate the restoration of man's order? The fairly comfortable and convenient, almost cozy, life that we led until just a few weeks ago, when our global masters pressed the button and declared it otherwise. What a punishment. Do you know that the official plague doctor of the president, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now concedes, you won't hear about this in the press, now concedes that the coronavirus mortality rate is much closer to a bad flu and nothing more. Far less than 1%, it is, now they're saying, perhaps 0.1%. But never mind, we have witnessed in a few short weeks something far worse, the frightening phenomenon never seen before in human history. Consider this. What one Argentinian writer characterizes as global social discipline. There are orders, and then come more orders, and everyone throughout the whole world must follow those orders, and they grow daily, and no one knows how or when or if it will end. Cowed by hysteria and terror, men move like a shoal of fish or a flock of sheep, and they have suspended judgment. Common sense is sacrificed on the altar of this new global discipline, the likes of which have never been seen before. Everyone must obey, from the Queen Elizabeth in her palace to the poorest untouchable in India. Everyone is meant to be isolated, the one from the other, and you are meant to be locking in march step during the lockdown, apart but still moving obediently together in the same direction. The scene is set for someone to emerge who will certainly not be the good shepherd to lead the sheep. Our business, my friends, is to honor him, the true shepherd, so dishonored by man. We merit the punishment. God's rejection of us comes long after we first left him. But there still remain reparation and the possibility of restoration. First Friday this week, first Saturday, the sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Holy Mass itself, Lent, and you all know the drill. But in the midst of this chastisement, do you know that the mercy of God gives us an antidote to the poison? Make that a plural. Antidotes against the poisoned arrow of blasphemy, which wounds our Lord's heart, as well as the poison of one virus or another. You are privileged today to participate in this beautiful solemn Mass, and many of our faithful friends throughout the world are joining us virtually by means of the webcast. And because of your participation, you are protected. Most Catholics don't know this. Some deny it. But the words of our Lord in the Missal of the Mass do not lie. In the main prayer of the Mass, we call it the Collect, we ask our Lord, Respice, look down upon us, Father, fearful, dragging our feet, not too heroic, but still, Lord, guide and guard us, body and soul, by thy bountiful grace and protection. We often ask for this, you know, in the prayers of the Mass, especially in Lent. By God's providence, may our bodies be preserved in health, while his grace guards our souls from all evil. See the truth. Man is a creature composed of body and of soul. But which is more important, body or soul? The Catechism tells us the soul. But that we may serve him in this life, that's the reason, we ask for and receive, especially at Mass, health of body as well for his glory. So then, see this. The very first petition of the Pater, hallowed be thy name, is more than do not take it in vain. May God, not the government or Antichrist, but our Lord God himself, be known, loved, and served by all his creatures. And there's the Catechism again, the very first question, we teach to the little children. Why did God make me? In the original words of the Our Father, in Aramaic, they say the sense of it is, may God himself sanctify his name, continue in a word to glorify thy name among us. And that's the sense of that very mystical but powerful prayer I put on the front page of the bulletin today, called the Golden Arrow of Reparation for Crimes of Our Age, the Holy Face Devotion. Sometimes it's misunderstood and even condemned. But this beautiful, powerful prayer, so approved by the Church and the saints, ends as we might well end this too long sermon on the spring morning. May thy name, O God, be praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. The first petition of the Our Father, may God himself sanctify his name. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.